It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and it looks like you can get to me. Now it's up to me to give you a reason to want to. 888-876-5593 absolutely should work. Are the phones fixed? No, not exactly, but they will be to the point that you will be able to call me, or so I believe. All right, yeah, the best made plans, right? But I think we're pretty good on that, and I'd love to hear from you. Apologies for a very bifurcated Monday night trivia last night over that. Seems like a month. Over that number of things to talk about, and increasingly, though, I am concerned, to say the least. We'll clean it up some at the amount of AI that I am encountering online, particularly in stories that I want to share with you that I think maybe you'll be interested in hearing, and that, or a lot of the YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff. The worst of which, of course, are the Google summations, which, depending upon what else has been online, literally can kill someone's character without just a whit of information. But that's yet another subject. But for me, it's that you read an article and you think, this is pretty interesting stuff, and then suddenly it just doesn't come together. So case in point is homecoming king killed in tragic accident, which is, you know, a horrible thing, obviously. Recent high school graduate homecoming king tragically lost his life in a vehicular accident caused by his classmate. Now, okay, that part, okay, I understand. That's a well-conjugated verb sentence. I can take it. But the incident occurred in western Minnesota, where 18-year-old, they give the name of the person, was charged with vehicular homicide for causing the fatal crash that killed his friend Blake Unger. Now, here is the problem. So far, you'd say, well, things happen. They were out for the night celebrating their graduation from New York Mills High School. Everyone in the New York school is very upset about this. How did they get to western Minnesota? It's as if this was cut and paste, and somebody didn't bother to go along with the theme. So needless to say, I have no idea if there was a homecoming king, or if he met an untoward fate, or what have you. But I sure would like to know how he got from New York to western Minnesota in one night. In time for the accident, no doubt. So there's a lot of that. I'll play your requests. Those are legit, and I can find them. And they're all on this computer, and they were recorded long before the advent of AI. So we'll do that. But if it's on your mind, it will be on mine. And I have, in addition to requests, I have written down to make more of an effort to find Dr. Domeno, since it has been announced he's retiring. Now, you're saying, what, he retired in 2011? Well, that's when he left the radio. But he had an online show since then, and he has now concluded his last live one. There'll be replays for several months, and then I think it's October. It's goodbye for good. So I know many of you have asked, saying, you got to do that, want to hear that. And I say, yeah, I do too. So I promise I'll do better. I don't guarantee I'll be successful, but I'll do better. All right, so article after article on state after state losing banks. Now, it's interesting that, of course, the banks to some degree are an illusion. Because as you know, your money's not sitting in a bank somewhere. It is absolutely just an accounting sheet on computers. And you know that when you get your statements. But nonetheless, we still have enjoyed walking into the brick-and-mortar location when we want to. And some of us are not that thrilled with online banking. Now, it's interesting that states have lost over a quarter of their banks in the last couple of years. 85% of Americans say they still want physical banks, but what's interesting is they're not really using them. 92% of Americans now primarily bank online. And so you can see the trend, and of course the banks would like to do away with all the physical branches. And I was looking at this and I was saying, you know, I hesitate when it comes to doing any banking transaction online, because unlike credit cards, which have very strong protection from fraud, bottom line is you're in an untoward situation with a credit card, the most you're going to be out is $50. Well, not so with your bank account. You're depending upon the goodwill of the bank to make you whole. There is absolutely no legislation that guarantees you will be. So it seems to me that that if they want you to bank online, there should be some guarantee that you're not going to, through some trick of fate, lose everything you've got on deposit. So apparently, many states have lost literally 30% of their brick-and-mortar banks in the last year. Now, nationwide, it's a 17% national decline. But it's going that way, and it just doesn't seem like there's enough protection for you and me. But that almost sounds like an issue, so we'll move away from that. But it did bother me as far as that goes. So other than that, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And most outrageous story of the night? Oh, man, I got it here. And the good news is that three people have been sentenced to life without parole. This is not here. It's in South Africa. And usually I leave the stories elsewhere alone, but this was just too much. A South African mother claims she sold her daughter so her eyes and skin could be used for medicine. I kid you not. Apparently, what occurred here is mom and two people in her life sold this child, yeah, for the purpose of mutilation, maybe, but the reality is they don't know why, because they had a drug habit. And so, 6 years old, and they said, ooh, but we can sell the kid. And so what's interesting, why they picked the six-year-old, I don't know. The woman is a mother of three who, by the way, showed absolutely no indication of remorse whatsoever. Now, they're talking about she was allegedly sold. The child was allegedly sold for the purpose of mutilation. And then they say her body has not been found. Well, no, her body has not been found. It's in pieces. Regardless, so they're all convicted, and you know, the sad part about this was when the child disappeared, the mother was painted as a grieving parent, and everybody felt sorry for her and all that. And little by little, the story leaked out. You're saying, what does a 6-year-old child go for? $1,100, and specifically sold for her eyes and her skin. Just over the top on. Unbelievable. All right, I'll just leave it as there. Judge sentenced her to the strongest sentence, and the other two with her that was absolutely possible. Now, what's interesting is that those testifying against her include the child's former former teacher, a pastor, who all testified that, oh no, this woman was trying to sell this child as early as 2023. And so the search for her has now expanded. But as I say, I wouldn't hold out too much hope that they'll find her. But yeah, so I don't know what was going on in your life, but I don't think that can top it, whatever it is. 888-876-5593. Ruth and Gurney, welcome to WGN Radio. Oh, Ruth hung up. I hope Ruth hung up. Well, I don't hope that, but I mean, I hope it wasn't the phones. So yeah, right. I don't know if I could do this two nights in a row. Although it's not Monday Night Trivia, so I guess if I have to prattle on, we'll do the entire history of the Radiance. Yeah, which actually I could do on my own, but I could do tonight even helped more greatly because James from the South Side mailed me a fine article written by Steve Krakow about how the Radiance helped drive the shift from doo-wop to soul. And of course, my favorite Radiant period was when Leonard Keston Jr. Keston Jr. was in them. Thought they were just terrific. But 888-876-5593, do me a big favor and call. Yeah, not only because I'd like to talk to you, and it's obviously easier when there's somebody to talk to, but more to the point, I want to make sure these phones actually work, because now that I got supposed to be Ruth, but something else, well, I'm curious. So, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Puedes tú con Dios hablar? Pregúntale si yo alguna vez te he dejado de adorar. Y al mar, espejo de mi corazón, las veces que me ha visto llorar, la perfidia de tu amor. Te he buscado donde quiera que yo voy y no te puedo hallar. ¿Para qué quiero otros besos si tus labios no me quieren ya besar? Y tú, ¿quién sabe por dónde andarás? ¿Quién sabe qué aventura tendrás? ¿Qué lejos estás de mí?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Perfidia, and Billy Bob from Bourbonnais had thought that we should play Linda Ronstadt version. I said, let me play something else, and decided he wanted one with words, so I went with a Nat King Cole from 1959. The song was written in the 30s, and Alberto Dominguez did the music, and everybody recorded it. There were over 400 versions of the instrumental, and over 60 versions of the instrumental with vocals, the first one being by Benny Goodman, and last one maybe being by Linda Ronstadt, I don't know, 1992, but nonetheless, Benny King did it as well, several others, but there you have a Perfidia. Okay, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh, and Floyd is in Iowa. Floyd, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. Raleigh, I want to find out if these phones work, and also
thank you.
That the theme song when you come on, that these ladies are not really singing any words. It's da 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 da. What is that?
Okay,
the
artist is Bert Keys. It's a 45 on Clock Records from 1965, and the title is Do 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 Ba Ah.
Do 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 Ba Ah.
Yeah.
Now, there's another one, also on WGN, a show, John Williams. He has something called Speed Jokes. They do the same thing with that dude, that, whatever that is, but it sounds good. They're not saying any words at all, it just goes with the tune and the instruments. Whatever they're saying and doing, it sounds good. And the same with your theme song on your show.
All right.
Now, something else I want to get.
Yeah.
Something else I want to get to.
Okay.
I asked you about this before, and we just couldn't nail it down. ABC Sports used to have a big ad campaign when Rune Arledge was executive producer. I think it was in the early 70s, late 1960s. He put a montage together of several sports scenes. A diver going off that cliff in Mexico, the athletes in the Olympics, and that the tune, the instruments on there, that instrumentation was absolutely perfect. It started out with the little tinkling on the piano, then the strong bass line came in. I can't find that anywhere. It's got to be around. Now, one of the other listeners suggested it might have been, what was that group, Palmer... Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
That was not it. That's not it at all. This sounded like it might have been studio musicians that were just absolutely perfect. People that spend their life around these instruments could bring those things to life. That ad and that montage, if only I would have had the means to record it then. That, I haven't been able to find it since.
Okay.
Is there some way we can appeal to our listeners or your listeners? Maybe they could pull this out somewhere. That they might say, oh, I know what he's talking about.
All
and
right.
They could just call in and get you, and if we could, and I'll listen, of course, because your show is great. If we could just get them to pull that out, what was that? I'm pretty sure it was the early 1970s or late 1960s, that montage, I still recall the pictures of it, the clips, they showed the box, I'm pretty sure the boxers, they showed one professional deal. Aaron Pryor, and what was his name? Alexis Arguello. And just short clips of the athletic action going on. But that that instrumentation, by golly, Raleigh, that was absolutely perfect. And I haven't been able to find it since. I want to say jazz, or what would be called improvisational jazz. Mm-hmm. But that was just grand. It was almost as good as Hoyt Curtin with the theme for Johnny Quest.
Okay. So what I need here, because the problem is that for people who have not heard it in terms of from what you're telling them doesn't ring a bell, I need as much information as I can get about what was in that clip, because what I'm going to do, the only thing I know to do, is I've got someone in my life who is a sports guy and professional broadcaster, and he wouldn't know it, but I'm going to have to give him more information than this.
Let me see what I can come up with, because I've got to find that clip.
But so what you say, there's several clips, and one of the clip is a fight.
Yep.
And the fight is, yep, what, between Arguello and Allen?
Alexis Arguello,
okay,
and Aaron Pryor.
Aaron Pryor.
Now, those were two professional boxers.
Right.
Aaron Pryor, the American, Alexis,
okay,
Arguello from Nicaragua. Just a short bit of them bouncing, well...
Okay.
Arguello didn't do too much bouncing around.
Who else was, who, but, other than that fight, what was in the montage?
Formula One racing. You know, those, not those NASCAR race cars.
All right, no, Formula One,
one,
okay, race. That's
yep,
two. What else we got? Do you know more?
And then, let's see, the diver. I want to say that diver off of a cliffside in, oh, who would it be, a cliff in Mexico? A famous cliffside, they dive right into the ocean. A female diver.
Okay.
She was wearing a single piece, what do you call it, swimsuit.
Yeah.
And then just before she took the dive.
Okay.
And then after, you know how they do the flip after they take the dive, they go into the water. It showed just the very brief moments when she took the dive, and then it didn't show her go into the water, but the drop to get into the, make the entrance. Let's see, what else was in there? The Formula One, the boxers. Oh, what else was in there? But then the start off was the tinkle of the piano.
Okay.
You know, the high, what do you call those things? Those high registered keys.
Okay.
And then it came in with the bass guitar come in there. The horn, there was a, you know, they used to have TV would sign off at night.
Of
this
course.
This came on just before broadcast, the end of the broadcast day.
Okay.
They would sign up, then they'd have the national anthem.
All right.
And show the military. This.
Hang on a minute. Stay where you are. Don't go anywhere. We'll pick it up right there. And maybe you know, and we'll find out about that coming up on WGN Radio.
Buy it for me now, babe, for I am too old. Buy for me the sun, my darling, buy for me the sun. Buy for me the light that falls when day has just begun. And I'll buy for you a shadow to protect you from the day. Happiness.
place of all the tears.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And it was David in Winthrop Harbor who said he wanted to hear them doing Mr. Bojangles. And as we talked, I said, well, how about the original Jerry Jeff Walker? And I said, how about the original Nitty Gritty Dirt Band song, By For Me the Rain? He said, never heard it. I said, well, you will. So that 1967, it was a single on Liberty. And that is the first thing the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band charted with, and By For Me the Rain. And we'll get to Mr. Bojangles, the original Jerry Jeff Walker, as who wrote it, as well as the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. But I want to put Floyd on hold. I've been doing some work here, Floyd. Don't go away. I've come to some conclusions. However, I've got a first-time caller who says maybe he knows about this. So, Bob in Omaha, welcome to WGN Radio. What do you know?
The show he's talking about is The Wide World of Sport.
Right, I figured that out. Yes, and I've seen the montages. Well, do you know the montage to which he's referring?
Well, I Googled Thrill of Victory, Agony of Defeat, which was kind of the theme and theme music, and it comes up with a YouTube video of The Wide World of Sport's intro.
Right. Did you hear it, though?
Yes, I heard it.
Did it fit in any way that you can think of?
It doesn't. Yeah. The music means nothing to
right.
me.
Right.
And I even looked for anything that told what the music was.
Oh,
I found some that would say, here's what the lyrics are, but they won't say what the music is.
Music was written it was written for the show by a kid named Charles Fox. He was paid $500 for it. But I'm trying to find, but it changed, you know, over the years. So I'm trying to find the right year to see if we can maybe match it up. But yeah, oh, thank you for trying, and thank you for calling. This is an honor.
Thank you.
All right, call again. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye. All right, so yeah. All right, so now, seeing if anybody else, okay, Ken in Chicago wants to weigh in on this as well. And so let's see here. So Ken, welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you know?
Well, nothing now. Oh. Talked to the guy in Omaha. Same information I was going to pass along to you, Raleigh. That's all.
Oh, yeah. And like I say, those things change fairly regularly. And I have a feeling that what he wants is one of them. So now it's a question of finding it.
I think he is talking about Emerson, Lake and Palmer. I think it's called Fanfare.
Yeah, we played that before when that was suggested, and he nixed it. So that
yeah.
ain't it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. So, appreciate it.
You got it, Raleigh.
Okay, bye. Night. All right. Well, I might have found it because I got the diver as far as that goes. And I think I got the boxing. So, Floyd, I guess we'll hear it together. This is a 1974 opening, but yeah, that montage does kind of reek of Wild World of Sports. Let's try this one.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The human drama.
That's not the one I want. All right, so I assume that's not
that's
one.
Jim.
Yeah,
that's Jim McKay.
You're right,
doing
exactly.
the voiceover for
right.
the Wide World of Sports.
Right.
And that it always shows when he said the agony of defeat, Carl Schlantz on the long jump crashing
yes.
the hay bales or whatever. But this one, it would come on late at night. And here's something else. My sister used to play the piano.
Yeah.
So I know this. Is it called a frill? What do they do? They run their hand down the keyboard. Is that called a trill or a frill? What is that?
Well, I don't know. I always just called it rolling, but like rolling.
Okay,
chords,
rolling. When they started that the dive when she went into before she hit the water, they would do the roll on the piano. It'd go from high to low,
right.
And then they'd come out with that bass guitar real strong.
Let's see about this
one. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
No.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
So it's none of that.
And Raleigh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Raleigh, here's something else, too. And usually it'd just be a snippet. Not that ABC Wide World of Sports, that opening battle lasted for less than 60 seconds. But then the ads they'd play throughout the day for advertising ABC Sports, maybe less than 60 seconds. But at night when they would sign off, that's what made me, this thing went on for minutes, at least 2 minutes. And that improvisational, whatever it was, that, it was just almost like, not really jazz, it was almost like, what would you call it? Not rock and roll, it was like something more in the line of what the Dave Brubeck would play, but with more bass guitar in it. More instruments. The the trumpet, I'm called the trumpet, the solo in that, and the strings, the violins, those came in later in the composition. But this thing was absolutely grand.
Was there anything other? Was there anything other than sports on this montage?
No, I can't recall anything other than sports on it at all. Because, but this, and it did show. And some people don't call it sports. That what do you call it? The ballroom dancing, whatever it was. When it shows the not dancing, skating, the figure skating. It shows the male and the female, like Ty Babylonia and Randy Gardner used to do that.
Okay.
They would show that, just snippets of it.
Right.
Maybe less than 5 to 10 seconds on each for the montage. But they put that together to roll through, and that's where you got the Formula One racing, the boxing, the diver, the ice dancing, all that and more.
All right.
And the sports. And then when Rune Arledge, the executive producer, I remember that. That guy must have been, I don't know if he's still around or not, but that guy must have been some kind of a fine for that ABC because they weren't doing too good. They put him in there, and things just took off.
Yeah, he did very well. Sadly, he died after the new year, like 2002, I think. He was born around 1930, 31, thereabouts. And yeah, he headed ABC Sports from 68 until 86. So
that could be then. That sounds about the time. That's the time.
And he was also part of ABC News for quite a while during that and after that as well. So, yeah. Sadly died. He was only 71, but so I knew that. But regardless, I'm gonna find this.
We will.
Yeah, we.
Raleigh, let me continue to listen to your show.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bye. All right.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So now it's some type of a promo that they used at sign off that obviously had some of the montages from video montages from Wild World of Sports, but wasn't only. All right, so we'll get to Stephen Omaha, who wants to weigh in as well. Oh, wait a minute. All right, but Mike is a first-time caller. We try to defer to those because they're not very patient. All right, so Mike in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello?
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. I was interested to know if you would be interested in being the guest at a record show, a record convention in Northwest Indiana.
You know, I'd love to be, but I don't think you realize I'm sitting in Arizona.
You're right. I didn't.
I'm so sorry. I would otherwise love to do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm just amazed at how much you know about music and everything.
Well, I love record shows, and they're few and far between these days. And so not many of us are still alive. So I would love to come, but I'm afraid it's a little too far right now.
Do you ever come to Chicago?
Well, yeah. See what? And I was planning to come a lot more, but my husband had a hemorrhagic stroke, and that sort of put a stop to things for a while. And so we're pretty much beholden to local medical here. And he's doing amazingly well, as you know, because he answers the phone when you call. But it prohibits us from traveling great distances for the foreseeable future.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I wish I could be there. I'll be with you in spirit.
Well, okay. I'll keep listening.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, believe me, I'll be there in spirit. Love record shows. And, yeah, fewer and fewer of us left by the day. So I hate to pass on that. But right now, yeah, gotta. Stephen Omaha, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, good evening.
Thank you for calling.
My pleasure. So I did have luck at YouTube. I searched and watched several Wide World of Sports intros,
yeah.
But what I found was one tagged as a commercial from 1973, and it starts with tinkling music and evolves into something that I'd call sort of a Starsky and Hutch kind of theme with kind of horns and kind of rocking. So I can hit the button and play a piece of that audio right now if you want.
You can do that, but the other thing is I can probably pull it up on YouTube while we're speaking.
Well, then
but
here's the exact thing to search for.
Okay.
Wide World of Sports commercial, 1973.
Okay, let me do it that way.
And the channel it's on is called Gone But Not Forgotten TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what we get.
Cool.
All right. So here we are. Commercial 1973. All right.
It's 1 minute and it's pretty lively. I think Floyd's going to be happy.
Oh wow. Wow, you'll have made his day. Let's hear it.
Hey.
the bill. This is great. Now, I wonder who did the music.
That's somebody else's challenge.
Yeah, no, yeah, right. No, you've been great. And, you know, doesn't it reek of 1973? It just absolutely sounds like that. So, yeah. Well, hopefully Floyd is still listening, but I'm going to bookmark it if not. And thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Cheers.
It.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Well, it sounds right to me. So, Floyd, you got to call back. 888-876-5593. I think that's a winner. Now, of course, finding out the truth behind it, well, that might be actually easier than finding it. I think Steve did the hard part, and I'm grateful for that. All right, so want to talk a minute about one of my true loves, which, of course, is the Sea Crane Company. And if you listen to this show, you know that Bob Crane should be knighted for his love of radio and the radios he's developed and so much more. And, you know, the one thing I say about all the radios that Bob Crane developed, what they have in common is just incredible reception. Yeah, he solved the problem of the lackluster reception of the 80s and how bad it got and all this. Man, AM, FM didn't matter. Just terrific on every one of them. But when I start talking about things like Wi-Fi radio and I say there's great reception, I know you're saying, what? Well, here is the deal. Of course, if you have a Wi-Fi radio, you know it's got to connect to your Wi-Fi router, your wireless access point. And, man, if that's sluggish, it can be a challenge. So that's why I always say get the CC Wi-Fi 3 because it's a terrific radio. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. But there's something else that occurred to me, and that is there's another thing in the catalog, the CC Vector. And what this is an extended long-range Wi-Fi booster where you can beam a reliable Wi-Fi signal up to half a mile from your router, as long as you have line of sight. So if it's a thing where you're trying to beam it into a steel building, you're out of luck. But if you've got a line of sight connection, it will work with all of your Wi-Fi devices, and it is terrific. So whether you're browsing the web or making video calls for that matter or streaming audio, whatever, man, I'll tell you what, this is just terrific, the CC Vector. So if you've had any problem with lackluster connections, this is terrific. You know, and you probably tried those cheap little plug-in Wi-Fi boosters. They don't boost. Yeah. And then you might have gone, if you were desperate, for the real deal, spent a fortune, and then saw the impossible instructions and gave up. So I'll tell you what, there's something between those two, and that's the CC Vector extended long-range Wi-Fi system, half a mile. So whether you're going to the barn or your shop or whatever, as long as there's line of sight, man, does it work. And so you didn't just fix the problem, you found the right solution, which is neat. Now, the CC Wi-Fi 3. And even if you don't have a Vector, if you struggle with good reception, I'll tell you what, the CC Wi-Fi 3 will connect to even the most lackluster Wi-Fi. It's just terrific that way. But more to the point, it's intuitive and easy to use. It's not a frustrating mess when you try to set it up. And the audio is great, better than any smartphone in the world. And the neatest part, of course, no ads, no monthly fee. You won't have to sign up for an app, no microphone, nothing like that. And it has all the audio the web has to offer. Yeah, pretty much every radio station in the world, and so many other things as well, and that superior reception. So whether you're looking at the Vector, and I hope you will check that out, or the CC Wi-Fi 3, if you go to ccradio.com, you can check them both out. Yeah, the world is your oyster on that. If you can't, and of course, if you're not online, you probably don't want a Wi-Fi radio. However, if someone in your life is and you're thinking about a gift, or if someone in your life is complaining about lackluster reception, give them a call. 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. And they'll answer all your questions by phone. They'll mail you out a hard copy of the catalog if you want to see it for yourself, or you can order. But if you can go online, oh, do that. CCRadio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3 and the CC Vector, and you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
A new man bojangles and he danced for you. Worn out shoes, with silver hair, a ragged shirt and baggy pants. The old soft shoe, he jumped so high, he jumped. so high. Then it lightly touched down. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, dance. I met him in a cell in New Orleans. I was down and out. He looked at me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Jerry Jeff Walker, 1968, ATCO, and that's the original Mr. Bojangles. And he wrote it, and Tom Dowd and Don Elliott produced it. And, of course, later the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band did it. And that is for David in Winthrop Harbor. And, yes, we will call back. But it looks like success has been had. Floyd, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Wally. And you did find that. That fellow in Omaha, was it Steve in Omaha?
Steve, yes, Steve in Omaha.
Said YouTube 1973.
Okay, here's what you do.
1 minute.
Go. All you have to do is go to YouTube.com. And when you get to YouTube.com, then what you want to do is punch in ABC Wide World of Sports commercial -1973.
There it is. Thanks a lot, Raleigh.
My
Let
pleasure.
Let me listen to your show some more.
All right, I appreciate it. Okay, bye. So, all right, we have solved that. How about that? And, I don't know if Charles Fox wrote that, as far as that goes, but it sure sounds like 1973, doesn't it? And, good. Well, I'm glad we took a thorn out of Floyd's musical paw. And, I know what that's like. So, good. Success has been had. Yeah, it's been so elusive lately around here that it's nice to see. All right, so... Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley. Well, before I get into the job update, whoa, what a day. I just saw this on the news. Toddler in New York goes on a ride on the conveyor belt, and we got the Sahara dust from Africa coming over here. It's not just from Wisconsin. You got the Chicago people are getting those and smoke from those fires over there. We're getting Sahara dust from Africa.
Yeah, so right. It was a two-year-old boy, and he was in Newark in the luggage carousel. And yeah, Newark has had its share of troubles. That's
and
for sure.
Battled New York, yep.
Yeah, but here's the question. You've seen those luggage carousels, all right? How did that two-year-old manage to climb and get on there without mom even noticing?
Right. That's all a good question.
So, now I assume that it must not have been on the carousel. It must have been somewhere else. But then the next question is, where would a large conveyor belt that is the same as foot level be at an airport? That shouldn't be happening.
No, it shouldn't.
Yeah, I go with it has to be the carousel. And if it is the carousel, mom was negligent. Yeah, something happened in the blink of an eye. No, that's more than the blink of an eye. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen them where they have the babies on those, they look like stretchers on their chest.
Yes.
That's what they need to have. Yeah.
Yes.
That wouldn't have happened if she had them on one of those stretchers.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad they rescued the kid. He could be on his way to Omaha right now. In the luggage compartment. Yeah.
Yeah. That is funny.
Yeah.
Well, so I got the news. I got some news here, so...
Okay, hang on. Don't go away. I want to hear every bit of the news. Right. First, we'll hear the news, then we'll hear Eduardo's news coming up on WGN Radio.
What that there? And why that under there? And oh daddy, oh hey daddy, hey look it over there. Hey, what they doing there? And where they going there? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Hey, who that in my chair? And what she doing there? And oh daddy, oh hey daddy, can I go over there? Hey, Hey, Daddy, what's a square? And where do we get air? And Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? My quizzical kid, man, he doesn't want anything here. He's forever demanding to know who, what, and why, and where. Inquisitive child, and sometimes the questions get wild. Like, Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Don't wanna comb my hair and wear my teddy bear. And oh, Daddy, oh, hey, look at the cowboy coming there. Hey, can I have a pair of boots like that to wear? And Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? The time will march, the years will go, the little fella's gonna grow. I gotta tell him what he needs to know. Help him along so he'll know right from wrong. Gotta make him strong. As life's parade goes trudging by, you'll need to know some reasons.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and there it is for Gail, Oscar Brown Jr., and that there. And actually, that was originally an instrumental that Bobby Timmons wrote in 1960. And a year later, Oscar Brown Jr., who was great at setting things to lyrics, wrote the lyrics for Dat Dare. Yeah, big elephant over there. All right, so 888-876-5593. And I promised Gail I would listen to her her recording on Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and I haven't done it yet. So apologies, Gail. I will. I promise. It's been... Well, you don't want to know. All right, so in the meantime, Eduardo is in Tampa, and he's got maybe news on Job Search 2025. All right, Eduardo.
Yeah, so this weekend I'm going to be working the Metallica that's going to be at RBJ on Friday and Sunday.
That'll be a lovely crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish it was something with blues and jazz. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I have, I just got this today, so tomorrow I'll be doing an interview at the Walmart. There's positions open there at the Citrus Park on Gun Highway.
Okay.
All so right. That's about a 10-minute drive, so that's close.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
now you were,
I'll probably go for the morning.
You were doing some work at one of the grocery stores. What happened with that?
Oh, it didn't work out that well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That was kind of a haul
for you too.
With management, yeah.
Yeah.
With management, so.
Okay.
But yeah, so I moved on from that. But yeah, so I got an interview tomorrow, and they got morning, afternoon, overnight,
okay,
or evening shift. But so I'll probably go for something like morning because the nurse takes care of my mother here in the morning.
Okay.
So that would work out good. And speaking of her, she's a great lady. She had references for my driveway concrete, my seamstress for my mother.
Good.
She is good. Like a Raleigh James of contacts.
That's excellent.
She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. She actually got me to, and I just did this right now, came in and took a shower, but I picked somebody up, kind of like played Uber.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing this for the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Picking somebody up at Esposito's Italian restaurant.
Okay.
It's on Del Murray. Yeah, I guess that's considered still part of Carrollwood, something like that.
All right.
So they give me some gas money, so yeah. So there you go.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Well, Walmart actually...
Yeah,
Walmart actually pays, from what I understand. The salaries are certainly commendable. So hopefully you get it. It's something you like to do, and it pays you decent money.
Yeah. You know, next time I call, I'll let you know how the interview went.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. So.
Yeah. I want to know the strangest things they ask you. I'm curious how interviews go.
Yeah, it is one of the Walmarts that I go to when I do go into
now,
Walmart.
This is the Gun Highway. That's the super center, right? You're not going into the neighborhood market, are you?
Right. You caught that. Yeah. So there's the small one, but there's the bigger one that's on right near the Citrus Park Mall.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's the Supercenter. And that, yeah, that's okay. Right. I would stay away from those neighborhood markets.
I don't like those. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Good. Well, yeah. I hope so. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. You get some hours, and you got this, and then I got the stadiums. So that's going to be with Safe Management. So anything we do with concerts, and then the eight games, which are part of the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay, no, that's good.
It's a big game.
Now, I have to tell you, I don't often do this, but I rejected your request. And the reason I rejected your request was you wanted to hear Alice Coltrane, Fire. That song is over 11 minutes long, number one. And number two, there wasn't any part of it I could get that would make a good bumper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was, I guess it has its purpose, but probably not as an intro to a talk show.
Yeah. So I don't know. Did I get that from WDCB or?
I have no idea. You might have.
I think I did. I heard it somewhere.
It was hardcore 11 minutes.
Okay. There'll be other songs.
All right. Good deal.
Yeah. Oh, but before you go, so what's up with the, because we're now into the basketball and hockey championship. What's up with the schedule with that?
Well, if they go into overtime, I'll be a little preempted. But if they don't go into overtime, the Stanley Cup playoffs should not affect the 10 p.m. start, Central Time.
Okay.
But you know, Adam and I were talking about that. You never know. So especially with playoffs,
right,
it could go into overtime. I'll certainly be sitting at the ready at 10 p.m., and then if it doesn't happen, I'll be on as soon as it does.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll probably call Thursday.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, Riley.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Now, let's see. Don is in Kalamazoo. Hello, Don.
Good evening, Raleigh James.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm working late, and I listen to your radio program almost every night. And I I grew up in Elgin with heavy metal. And playing guitar, and I always wanted to know, you know, who did these people listen to? And it always goes back to blues and soul and really good stuff. And then one day, years ago, I heard you on the overnight, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is a treasure. And you've been a treasure for me for years.
Well, you're very kind.
Well, you are fantastic.
Well,
I tell my buddies about you. I tell so many people all about learning where all this music came from, and you are an asset to that. But I'm calling because I learned about the Wrecking Crew a couple years ago, and I'm a bit obsessed with it, got the documentary.
Right.
And when I heard that gentleman ask about who played that music, I Googled, did the Wrecking Crew play ABC Wide World of Sports? And it said yes.
That's interesting. Firstly, you know, and I'm not going to take anything away from those guys because they were excellent. But the Wrecking Crew is a name they invented after the fact.
Yes.
It was not a name back in the day. And poor Carol, best bassist in the world, you know, took real offense at that.
The founders of it, if I may interrupt, the founders of it were very businesslike, wore suits, very professional, and then they saw the other people come in smoking cigarettes and walking with casual clothes, and they said, these guys are going to wreck this place. And that's where that name came from, I heard.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of stories. But basically, they were just studio musicians. And I will say, most of the people who made up that group were the A-Team. I mean, certainly they were the first call if you could get them. You know, so I don't
take
that
away from them.
But, you know,
they played the Monkees music.
Of course.
They played the Mamas and the Papas. They played the Scooby-Doo cartoons. They played all the theme songs. And I run into people that are older than me. I'm 56, and they don't know anything about the Wrecking Crew or who made all this music that nobody really. So I just Googled when that gentleman came on, did the Wrecking Crew play ABC Wide World Sports commercial music? And it said the Wrecking Crew, blah, 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 played hundreds of top 40s plus ABC Wide World of Sports music.
Not all of it. I don't know about that commercial. It's possible that they were the, and you know, again, when you say Wrecking Crew, remember the nexus of who was on any given date had to do with who was available when the call came.
Sure.
So it wasn't always the same people. But when you say, you know, sure, they played the Monkees or they played this, a studio musician plays anything that they're asked to play. You're paid by the gig. You don't get residuals. You're not part of it. So basically, you don't care what it is. And that's,
absolutely,
that's always been the way. And there's always people in demand in Nashville, in New York, in Los Angeles, in Memphis, who are your top tier people. But if they were busy that day, that's not who you got.
Right.
You know,
right.
It varied, but I'm going to try to find it in 1973. I'm not sure where that session was even done, which easily could have been New York. But by the way, do not believe Google AI.
Okay.
The reason I say that is sometimes I'll want to confirm a fact about music or whatever, and I'll tell you, when I do Google AI, I laugh because half the time it's like so off the mark that I think to myself, oh my God, this could be people's reputations at stake here, you know, because it's
I tell younger people that AI is just like a blender that puts things back together the way it wants to that second, you know.
Well, right, and the ingredients might be pure fiction.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, scary stuff.
Hey, can I switch gears and ask you about a gentleman?
Yes.
I came across this guy on the radio a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and it turns out he wrote for the Rolling Stones, Otis Blackwell.
Oh my God, yes.
And he wrote a tune I never heard before, Daddy Rolling Stone.
Of course.
Then I heard a better version of it by Derek Martin.
Well, of course.
That would be 63. Otis wrote it in 53, right. And even The Who covered it in 72.
Yes, yes.
And it's very, in 10 years from what Otis Blackwell did to what Derek Martin put layers and layers and layers of music on that. And it is such a joy to listen to.
Yeah, that was the only version I actually knew. I knew other people had covered it, but to me it was always Derek Martin. But Otis, long before Daddy Rolling Stone, wrote things like Fever, which became a huge hit. Of course, Little Willie John as far as R&B, but, you know, Peggy Lee and all that. He wrote Great Balls of Fire, you know, Don't Be Cruel, Return to Sender. I mean, the list is endless.
And he's on a YouTube David Letterman show from 82 playing a Rolling Stones song that he wrote, and I can't remember which one it is, but he plays it.
Yeah.
He performs it on David Letterman.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
Yeah, no, he was terrific as far as that goes. He's so good that he's even in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame, which is
really cool.
Yeah, amazing to think. But and
that
he had
so
a lot
cool.
of interesting collaborators too, as far as that goes. But very widespread in terms of his influence, because it wasn't just R&B. That's for sure. Now, my favorite song with a backbeat, my all-time favorite, and normally I'm a sucker for backbeats. I like almost anything, but Halo. Little Girl by Dick Clark, I think, is the best backbeat in rock and roll history, and he wrote it.
You know, I'm in a little band with my two daughters.
Yeah.
And we do, you know, the Monkees and Beatles, and I got like two or three Dick Clark 5 tunes that I really want to play with my little girls soon.
Okay.
And, you know, that's just, like you said, that's just good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've taken enough of your time. I never thought I'd call in this soon, but when I heard that, I looked that up, and I hope it helps. Maybe they didn't play it, maybe they didn't.
But I'll try and find it either way, but I'm just so delighted you called, and I hope you will again.
Oh, I will again for sure,
okay,
and I'm listening every night, either from Elgin area or from Kalamazoo.
Terrific. Thank you, Don.
Thank you. Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. Good deal. Otis Blackwell, unbelievable. And the nice thing about it was, because he was writing so much, he had the writer's credits. And sometimes you'll see on a record that it's written by John Davenport. That's Otis Blackwell, among others. And it's interesting that he grew up with both early R&B and country, which I've always said there is an absolute, you know, comparison in that. They're both very similar. But, you know, his first record label was JD, at JAY-DEE, and it's funny because I've been collecting old label stuff, and the other day I got a CD of all JD releases, and I thought, oh, this is great, and then I thought, who the hell would ever know what this is, and who cares, but Otis Blackwell certainly would. So 888-876-5593, we will get to James on the South Side, and a big thank you for his Radiant story. That might propel me to play some Radiant stuff coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's the Radiance, 1965. That's my all-time favorite. That was broke up in 1964. Maurice McAllister, of course, had the band for years before that, but then he recruited Leonard Caston Jr., and for a year there, weren't they terrific? And they swapped leads on Ain't No Big Thing, and of course, Voice Your Choice before it. Great, great stuff. And yeah, so thought about it because James on the South Side sent me an article about the Radiance, and I agree with the writer that they were certainly underappreciated, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
I'm glad you did, but you got to hang on. I just realized we're in the news. Don't go away.
Okay.
Stay where you are.
Understand I'm your hand in mind. I'm not the kind that uses pencil or tool. I'm handling with love, and that's my rule. Oh, will I face broken heart? I know I can. I'm your hand in mind. Is so good, you tell all your friends, and then come running to me. Oh, well, here's the main thing I wanted to say. My business is 24 hours a day.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Sparks of Rhythm, Handyman. Was written by Jimmy Jones, who later, of course, recorded an up-tempo version of that, and Otis Blackwell. And it's interesting because Jimmy Jones was in the Sparks of Rhythm when he wrote it, but he left the group before they recorded it, so they just omitted his writing credit, yes, entirely. But, of course, when he recorded it on Cub, and it was, of course, the big hit, well, that was back, along with, of course, Otis Blackwell. And Dunn done by a number of people over the years. Yeah, and both Jimmy and Otis profited greatly. All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us back to James, who I so rudely interrupted. So carry on, James.
Okay, I did come across a story you might want to look into. It's about a New York City man who lost an entire retirement fund because Paychex sent him paper checks instead of a secure digital transfer.
What?
Yep, a guy by the name of Dylan Handy, age 35.
Lost $114,000. Now let's see what the deal is. So he was trying to roll over a 401k after he switched jobs. So instead of a secure digital transfer, Paychex, and that's company PAYCHEX, Paychex, sent paper checks. All right. Well, so what went wrong? Apparently, they were intercepted and fraudulently cashed. And so they're saying this outdated and insecure method remains standard practice in the retirement industry. Well, he wasn't even told that electronic transfer was an option. And more importantly, he may now owe taxes on the account. So why are retirement plan administrators still using physical checks? Well, and more to the point, who's responsible when they are intercepted and that's fraud? And that's what I was saying earlier, as you know, that we have so many rights when it comes to credit cards, but we have very little rights when it comes to our actual bank accounts and such. So it would seem to me that the intended recipient should not be on the hook for this.
No, they shouldn't. And apparently, I recall a relative I know. She had passed. This is my mother, and somebody sent a check to for payment. Even though what was funny was actually was sad. The account she had already paid off. Mm-hmm. And the person, God, luckily, there was nothing I could do about it because, hey, I'm not the person on the check account.
Right.
So, but ended up, when I looked at it, the person that cashed the check had gone through a currency exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's horribly problematic. Now, by the way, in this guy's case, his lawyer is suing them, taking them to federal court over this. It took him months of getting nowhere and no reimbursement. He finally got something, but not much. So his lawyer is contending that Paychex is responsible. Somebody should be. And, you know, the articles, and you probably read them too, whether it was in Yahoo Finance or somewhere else, they're all written, making the point that paper checks are insecure and don't use them. But the problem is electronic transfers are just as insecure. Don't kid yourself. And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, and so that's why those articles didn't really interest me that much, as far as that goes. But there does need to be something so that the end user is protected. Again, if it's easy enough to do that with credit cards, it should be just as easy to do that with financial transactions.
In fact, okay, I was going to point out that the irony here is like the EBT card, which is basically the thing that's the successor to the food stamp.
Yeah.
Okay, it uses, and somebody pointed out, okay, that's somewhat insecure the way, because it can be highly manipulated.
Oh, well, sure, but...
And so there was a plan, I don't know if it even passed, to make it where it would be like your credit card would be, where it have a thing where it basically a secure thing that basically made this a lot harder to be manipulated.
Oh yeah, there's so many things as far as that goes, but in general, you're seeing story after story about people losing everything, and in many cases it's just scams, and we understand that, unfortunately. But in other cases, these are things that start and end with banking issues, and the end user, the person who is entitled to the fund, should not be hanging for this.
Yeah, and what's the sad part, when I read about this particular guy, it's like, Okay, Donald, they is trying to say that he got the checks before the thieves. They're trying to say the thieves stole it from him. I'm like thinking, no, if he never got the check.
Yeah, well, of course, they'll say anything to avoid any type of responsibility.
Yeah, and it's sad, but
it's also interesting how easy it is to fraudulently negotiate checks, and that's something that the bank should be on the hook for as well. You know, for instance, in my businesses, like when people will be buying time on one of my radio stations, they might make the check out to the call letters, but of course the company isn't the call letters. Doesn't matter. It could say Adolf Hitler on that, and the bank would accept it. They shouldn't. You know, it's that simple. So, you know, to whom the check is made out to should be checked as well as to whom is endorsing this thing. But they're just not. So, there you have it.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and one other story you might want to about a Virginia hunter who gets a single day in prison for killing 20 juvenile bald eagles in a poisoning thing.
Yeah. All right.
I did have the request. Okay. I was going, Marty Robbins, El Paso, and Polina, which was a follow-up to it.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Absolutely. And I have your When Sunny Gets Blue Tonight for you, your Johnny Mathis.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
Okay, sorry you didn't have the Monday night
thing. Oh, yeah. Well, it's continuing, but fortunately not on the air. That's what's important here.
Yeah, I noticed it's a lot clearer because the last time I called,
that's
even
different.
With the landline,
it was
bad.
That's completely different. That has to do with a broadband provider who has nothing to do with the people I use for telephone work. So, yeah, two unrelated problems coming together.
Okay,
all right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, you take care.
Yeah,
God bless.
You too. So, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And you see this occasionally, people who are sentenced for killing bald eagles or stuff. I don't have too much sympathy either way on this because, after all, I was off the air for 6 weeks when a bird of prey, it wasn't a bald eagle, it was some other type of endangered things about the same size, but wasn't allowed to remove it. So it's one of those things where I'm not sure that how I feel about that, but nonetheless, a day in prison. So there you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it's on mine right here on WGN Radio.
Sunny gets blue, her eyes get gray and cloudy, then the rain begins to fall. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter, love is gone, so what can matter? No sweet love a man comes to call. When Sunny gets blue, she breathes a sigh of sadness, like the wind that stirs the trees. Wind that sets the leaves to swaying, like some violins are playing weird and haunting melodies. People used to love to hear her laugh, see her smile. That's how she got her name. Since that sad affair, she's lost her smile, changed her style. Somehow she's not the same. But memory will fade and pretty dreams will rise up where her other dreams fade.
Southfield. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the first version, actually. Yeah, When Sunny Gets Blue, Johnny Mathis with Ray Conniff in 1956. And then Nat King Cole did it a few months later. My favorite was from the 60s in the Like a Seed album that Kenny Rankin did. Actually, it was the 70s, now that I think about it. It wasn't that album. It was a different album, but it was in the 70s, and it was just wonderful. But even Joe Bataan did it, so the world did that song. But every time I hear it, I kind of laugh, because it was written by Marvin Fisher and Jack Siegel. And I think it was Jack Siegel's widow who brought the lawsuit. But yeah, there was one. Rick Dees, who was a morning disc jockey on Kiss FM in Los Angeles, did parodies. And he did a parody of this on one of his albums, When Sonny Sniffs Glue. And I think it was Siegel's widow, but sued. And of course they lost, which they would have to, because parody is protected. But some lawyer was willing to take it to court, and it went absolutely nowhere. But, yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, I will make sure it's on mine, since little is, actually. But, isn't it nice to take the kids to the museum? Sure, especially natural history, national museums of that sort. You never know what you're going to see. Don't take them to The Hague. All right, in the Netherlands, don't take them to the Netherlands National Museum. You are forewarned. They have a new display and a new object in that display. It is a 200-year-old condom decorated with, quote-unquote, they say, erotic art. I don't know. Well, look at this decoration. I believe it's a few nuns and all right, and some clergymen. All right, then. Yes, and so the condom, they believe, was a souvenir from a brothel. And apparently it's part of the exhibition called Safe Sex, about 19th century sex workers, that opened on Tuesday. Well, the kids love that. And so apparently it merges art with the red light district, and there's the 200-year-old condom. And it was made from sheep's appendix, because, as you know, sheep is the best stuff to use because it transmits heat. All right, I know that, I think, from a Julius Schmid commercial, don't ask. Around 1830, they think. All right, I don't remember the actual Julius Schmid product that told me all about the sheep transmitting heat, but there is one. All right, so... the phrase on the condom, written in French, if you were to translate it, says, "This is my choice." And I'm thinking, oh, there's just a plethora of options to that sentence. And apparently it's a reference to a Renoir painting, The Judgment of Paris, depicting the Trojan prince Paris judging a beauty contest. All right. The condom is on display until November. I know you don't want to miss it. Don't bring the kids. All right. So other than that... All right, then we have an art gallery that is showing a flag. Yeah, with a sign to gallery visitors, "Please walk on me." That lasted 19 days. All right, so what else do we have? A 700-pound boulder pinning Alaska man face down into a glacier creek for 3 hours. You probably heard about that. And you've got... a number of Brazil's lifelike doll craze. Yeah, from the shopping mall right to the state legislature. And apparently a video featuring emotional moments with hyper-realistic baby dolls. Certainly they were selling out, and they sparked a bit of buyer fascination, but political debate. So now even lawmakers are bringing the lifelike dolls into the legislature. Like they have nothing else to discuss. So they're staging situations, including birth simulations and strolls in shopping malls, handcrafted baby figures known as the quote-unquote reborn dolls, creating videos that have gone viral. So apparently, Rio de Janeiro, the city council passed a bill honoring those who make the dolls. And then you have people in the National Congress who are, wanting to hang them. They're wanting to fining them, especially they have been debating fines for those seeking medical help for the dolls. How exactly does that work? Well, they've got a video showing a woman taking one to a hospital. So lawmakers Tuesday were We're discussing this in the State House, plans to ban the reborn dolls from receiving care in the public health system. They're dolls. They're not real. But what exactly are they in the health system for? Local media took up the banner and said, we don't have any local health authorities who have ever heard of such cases. But Congress is debating it in Brazil nonetheless. And you consider all the things that might be of interest to the Congress in Brazil, and the reborn dolls apparently takes front and center stage. All right, so what else do we have of interest? Probably not that much. So we have another hour of showtime, and that deal is for God's sakes, call. Oh, a large elephant seal found lumbering along a Soviet African street. Yeah. How did you get here? Right. I wonder, too. An elephant seal. Obviously, it's a seal. Large seal. And apparently, in Cape Town, they were doing their best to try and get it back to sea. It's a 2-ton seal. And young male just ambling down the street near Cape Town. And, of course, everybody comes out and makes videos and all this. And everybody's wondering, how did you get here? And so you had police come to attempt to corral the seal, and he rested his huge head on the hood of one car and half climbed over another before slipping free and breaking free from authorities. Then stopped near a shopping mall, and animal welfare is worried that he was too far from the water to find his way back. And so they estimated 4,400 pounds, and elephant seals do grow to that size. So apparently they sent for the marine wildlife specialists and a city veterinarian. They sedated the seal and guided him into an animal transport where he was returned to his natural habitat at a nearby bay. And so, you've got a lot of videos of the seal just ambling down the street. And, see you later, says the video. Well, yeah, but how did it get there? And these are not things that will keep me up at night, because God knows there'll be a YouTube video to do that for me. But nonetheless, it is interesting to consider. What on earth? Yeah. Did someone help him? I don't know. So other news, what do we have? Oh, gosh, a guy who showed up in Waikiki, yes, Honolulu, with his cat in tow. He didn't fly there. He sailed from Oregon in a boat he bought without knowing how to sail. And he's alive. He was diagnosed 4 years ago with a syndrome that carries the risk of paralysis, so he quit his managerial job and used his retirement savings to buy the boat. And he figured, well, who knows how much time I have left? Might as well go sailing. And he said, you're just kind of grinding away at your job all day long. Everybody's trying to do enough to get by. It just wears you out. So he figured, nope, don't know what's going to happen. I'll just get in the boat. Several weeks at sea, he makes it to Waikiki. He doesn't have any idea what he's going to do next, although he did intimate that French Polynesia is in his sights. I don't know. I think he should quit while he's ahead. But that's right. I'm tired just reading about it. So we've got more news of the weird, but I'd much rather hear from you. We've got a few of your requests coming up, too, including the In the Midnight Hour answer. Oh, yeah, there was one coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, let's see. It was Wilson Pickett and Steve Cropper who wrote that, recorded it, and in June of 65 released it. And, of course, it was a big hit. A big enough hit that it spawned an answer record, which you will hear next. And both of these are requests. So let me find out who requested it, because I did write this down. I did my due diligence on this somewhere. I wouldn't have thought of it on my own. Oh, Chuck in Milwaukee. Yes, wanted In the Mid-Hour and wanted the answer record, which I happen to have. So you'll hear that next. But right now, oh, I love this. Johnny in Austin is checking in. So, Johnny, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much. I don't remember an answer song to Hold On.
Oh, man, yes. Ann Mason. You'll love it. The background of it's actually pretty darn good.
How did I miss that?
I can't imagine. This was, you know, they sent it to every radio station. Where were you in late 65?
KYOK.
Well, then they got it. They were holding it from you.
I'll tell you what, we did play an answer to her. It wasn't an answer song, but it was... And she did a good job of it. Was When a Man Loves a Woman by Esther Phillips.
Yes.
When a Woman Loves a Man.
Yeah, well, obviously, yes. Yes, absolutely. But
we did play that one.
But not the Ann Mason, huh?
I don't... What label was it on? I don't remember.
This record was probably the only thing the woman ever did. It was on Atlantic. In 1965, and it's interesting because both sides are the same, but on one it's credited to Ann Mason, on the other side it's credited to Little Mac and the Boss Sounds.
Same song?
It's You Can't Love Me in the Midnight. Well, I'll just play it, the hell with it. So much for a bumper. Since you've never heard it, we'll just play it. But yeah, it's of course it's the same song. It's the answer record with Ann and Little Mac and everybody else, I guess, who was in the room.
Uh-huh.
I think she actually could sing. There was never anything else I could find that she recorded.
I've never heard that in my life.
Well,
no,
yeah,
you
shocked. Have now. All right.
I am shocked. Well, you learn something new every time you listen to your show.
Well, there you are. So what's up?
I've been doing the research on these classic soul disc jockeys, but before I get there, and you told me the right way to do it,
yeah.
And I've been doing it.
Okay.
But before I go there, I heard a song that I thought was really interesting, and I thought it was pretty good by Gene Cotton called "A Sunday in Salem."
Oh yeah, I play that on KJ a lot.
That's where I heard that.
Oh, okay. All right.
I like that song, and it was kind of like, to me, I'd never heard it before, but it was a progressive rock kind of song that would fit on that kind of station, I would guess.
Well, you know his other hit before, Before My Heart Finds Out?
Yeah,
yeah,
I remember that.
Right, exactly. So after that, they came up like A Sunday in Salem, and I think that, you know, 7 pop adult stations in America played it, so that's about it.
Well, but it was good.
Obviously I like it. I wouldn't put it on KJ if I didn't like it.
Well, is there a story behind it?
Like what?
The song. Yeah, there's got to be a story there.
Like a backstory? I figured you just wrote it.
Well, I mean, is a song about, is it a something that happened, or what
well,
is it
no.
about?
I mean, they released that actually twice on Areola. They were trying. They released it in 72 on that Gray in the Morning album. And, you know, basically nothing was going on about it. But as far as I know, there's no story that it's just a song. But this was big, you know, in 78 they re-released it or so, 77 or 78. And there was a lot of, and that was on the Save the Dancer album, a lot of, you know, pop adult airplay. And that's about it. But if, I wonder, could there be a song? I just figured he wrote the lyrics and that was it.
No, I think it was about something. I'll get Gary on that.
Okay.
I'll get him to delve into that, but I thought it was did you like the song? I thought it was great.
See, obviously, I like it, or I wouldn't be playing it. You know, KJ, I only play what I like. So,
right.
So clearly, I like it. And, you know, I mean, we know about the Salem witch trials in 1692 and all of that. So, from that standpoint, other people claimed. Now, there is, let me find this, because there's somebody who spoke to Gene Cotton about it, because I had heard that, too, that some people thought it was the Army versus the McCarthy hearings. And
I've read a little
right.
about that.
But Gene Cotton nixed that. He said, no, it's not. And he said it's just about, you know, the 1692 witch hunts.
Huh. You well, I mean, he's telling some kind of story. I just didn't get what it was.
And, you know, of course, it's wonderful how it starts out with old-time radio and stuff, you know. Lights out television show, Amos and Andy on the radio, and a man
on the
hill running around, don't you know?
It was also called the Amos and Andy song.
Yeah, well... So
But it must have to do with something back in the 50s. I don't know, but I thought it was a doggone good song.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I like it, I play it, you know, I don't know, it never even occurred to me. Well, I figured it was just inspired by the witch hunts and you know, the lights out type deal, yeah.
Can you play it as a bumper?
Sure. I'll be happy to. I've got it. Obviously, I've got it in seven places on this computer, so sure, I'll be happy to.
Well, if you have to take a break, let me know.
Yeah, right. You'll get to hear it. No, exactly.
Yeah, I tried to listen last night. That was a bit of a disaster, but...
Yeah, I tried to do the show last night, too. I didn't succeed, but...
yeah, well, I heard it. I mean, I heard it fall apart.
Yes, absolutely. It's just pretty bad. So, yeah.
Well,
and it's only partially fixed. So, you know, I keep my fingers crossed because I know how it was fixed. And I also know exactly how it could fall apart again.
So, let's not happen right now. But back to what we were talking about the last time I called in.
Yes.
Had to do with soul radio DJs the old days.
Who'd you find?
Oh, boy.
Tell me who you found.
After I talked to you, I called Walt Babylove.
All right.
Who actually has a son who lives in Chicago.
All right.
And he might listen to your show. I don't know. But anyway, I called him, and because you know, he said, yeah, you know, he said, I said, oh, that's right. He said, you were in Texas all the time, except a year in West Virginia, so you wouldn't know a lot of these people. But I went and did a lot of research, and I've got so many notes here. I mean, they're just unbelievable.
Well, tell me. I want to hear.
Well, I'm just looking at him here. The big guy was the impressive one, and there was many. Was Herb Kent?
The cool gent. Yeah, of course. That's Chicago, and we talked about him. I mentioned him when we were talking about WVON, and he was not only at WVON, a number of places. And of course,
I know he was, yeah. And that man was on the air for 70 some odd years.
Yes, he was.
And he had a really good voice.
Yes,
too.
Yes, he did. And he wrote a book. In fact, when I was on XM, I interviewed him. He was still with us, and we had a good hour.
What was he like? What was he like?
He was great. He was great. And he was listening to my breaks when stuff wasn't on, and he was really taken by Charles Sheffield. You got your voodoo working. Loved that. He'd never heard it. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I have. I've taken so many notes. I'm trying to. Oh, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube. Now, I did go to that site that you told me about.
Yeah, Stepfather of Soul.
But the links didn't work.
Well, that may be, but you got some names to follow it up.
Oh, yeah, but on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And here's my question, too. If somebody's got a air check of, say, the Cool Gen.
Yes.
And, I mean, is it ethical, non-ethical, or what, to go in there and take a snippet off of there as I pay tribute to one of these?
I don't have a problem with that at all. No. It's fair game.
Well, and they've also got this one guy put a set of their jingles on there.
Well, you know, jingles are an interesting thing. You probably can get away with it because there's no one around, but technically they are copyrighted material and you don't have the right to air them.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal.
Well, I don't either. You know, I don't think the Sandy Green Company is going to come and get you. But or anybody else. So yeah, but I mean, technically, no, that's not legal. But using using a guy who's just introing records, that you'll be clear on that. Of course, you play the records, and in your situation, you're going to be playing it on somebody who is paying Sound Exchange, so it's not a problem.
Right.
Exactly.
There was a great story, and I know that you probably know all of this. I had read it years ago, but forgotten about it. There's a guy named Vernon Winslow.
Yes.
That is a hell of a story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dr. Daddy-O. This is New Orleans.
Yeah,
we're talking New Orleans around 1950.
Well, do you want to tell the story?
No, go for it. You can go for it.
You want me to tell? Well, from what I read, this guy, I think he was like a college professor somewhere. Anyway, he ended up in New Orleans.
Right.
I've got the article in my hand here. It's many pages.
Uh-huh.
It comes from Louisiana History, the journal of Louisiana Historical Association.
Okay.
And anyway, so very well written, but he went there and he wanted to put on a black radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Or a black radio show. There were none. And he went to a station. I don't have the call letters. Doesn't matter. But he met the owner or manager, and he's a white-skinned man, light-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is what I want to do, put this on the radio, blah, blah, blah. And the owner said, well, that's a great idea. He said, are you a, you know, and he said, yes, I'm black. And he said, get the hell out of here. You're not going to be on my station.
Oh, God.
Are you not going to be on my microphone anyway? And so, from what I recall, he hooked up with this guy again, or someone else, came up with the idea, and they said, "Well, yeah, what we'll do? We're going to hire you. This is unbelievable. But what we're going to hire you to do is to train white guys to sound like black disc jockeys."
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, where the Papa Stoppa.
I was going to say, yeah, that's the Papa Stoppa. But, you know, he was on the air originally jiving with Jax. Jax Brewery sponsored
him. Yeah, but that came later.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was. But yes, absolutely, Papa Stoppa kind of came out of that, if you will.
Well, and I'll tell you another thing that I found interesting, because Jax Beer, I guess, out of New Orleans.
Yes.
They played a part in this because, strangely enough, in Houston, about the same year where they finally put a black man on the radio, Dr. Daddy-O, and
right.
Vernon Winslow came up with that name.
Yeah, and it's been used quite a bit.
Oh, but, all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
But so anyway, a show debuted in New Orleans, brought to you by Jax Beer, called Jiving with Jax. There's even a Jiving Jack with Jax Boogie.
Right.
That's an instrumental.
Yes, that's right.
But it's about the same year. I'm talking the early '50s in Houston, where I lived. There was a Jiving with Jax show with a Daddy-O there, not the same person.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, and maybe Jax did this on some other Southern radio stations. I don't know.
I would assume that was the case. And, you know, it's interesting. That first station was, I think it was like MRZ. It was in a hotel, the Jung Hotel or something. I remember.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's hired to make white people sound black. They don't let him on the air. He actually gets fired because he winds up going on the air. And that was
I've
story.
Read, yep, okay. It's in the story.
Okay, that was a story, too. And then, you know, he's, you know, coaching the future Papa Stoppas and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, you know, gets fired and all that. And so then he winds up at WWEZ, and that's where Dr. Daddio came in.
Yeah, that's a fascinating. I've got this in my hand right now. I printed it out. It's pages and pages.
Yeah.
And
he got involved with the right people like Cosmo Matassa, and that was a help. So,
he was involved with a lot of the clubs too.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, and Mary, WMRY, that became WYLD. I mean, WBOK, good old group you know too well, came after that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, Mary became Wild.
Oh, this is WMRY?
Yeah, Mary. MRY, and that was in the Jung Hotel.
Oh, I'm reading this as I'm
okay.
Trying to
it's probably in there. Yeah, but Mary became YLD. Yeah.
That was a power one. That was a powerful.
Well, and then it was, you know, it was Ronsville for a while, so you know, it had good ownership for a while there, and you know, yeah, it'd been around for a long time.
I was amazed at that article, and I remember probably 10 years ago I read it. Okay, it was a Dewdrop Inn was one of the big.
Oh clubs. Well, you know about that.
I'm just reading. I'm just.
Oh
I'm,
well, the dude, the Dewdrop Inn was the best trans joint in all of New Orleans, you know, and for a while, what the hell was his name? He was even emceeing it for a while. The guy who sung with Huey Piano Smith, you know this. You'll, or if you don't, I'll come up with it in a moment. But he was great, and he was absolutely a cross-dresser. And you know, Little Richard appeared there every now and then. But it was definitely all. In fact, he did Tutti Frutti there, and the Tutti Frutti that Little Richard did at the Dewdrop Inn could never have been played on the radio. So he had, I'll say that, he had to clean that up big time. But, come on, why can't I think of this? And, you know, he's the guy who did the soliloquy on There Is Something on Your Mind. It'll come back. Yeah, you remember him. I know you do. And, yeah, just when you make it up in your mind to forgive her, here come another one of your best friends through the door. Yeah, so.
Oh, well, there's something, okay, I'm trying, yeah. You're trying to think of the artist? Of
yes,
the
yes, that because he was the singer for Huey Piano Smith, and he was the guy at the Dewdrop
Bobby
Inn.
Marchand?
Yes, Bobby Marchand, yes, absolutely. Biggest cross-dresser in all of New Orleans.
And somebody redid that on Imperial back in
well,
the 60s.
Yeah, the Jolly Jacks redid it on Landa.
And some big, was it Big J. McNeely?
Well, Big J. McNeely was the original. That was before there were any soliloquies. That's the that's the original R&B record that was a huge hit in L.A.
I'm trying to think of the one on Imperial in 66.
But then there was a guy before all of this who inspired it. In fact, the guy who inspired the Velvetones' Gloria Love, I'm trying to think of his name because he was a real piece of work, and that's earlier. Now we're talking. Why can't I think of his name? Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. I'll try to think of this. And I'll play Sunday in Salem and more coming up on WGN Radio.
It was well understood, but 3,000 miles and for everyone's good, a man stood singing his song. dancing around all the tombstones, he said that a man, if he's living, would rather be dead. And he opened the eyes to the typewriter's lead, and he said, now it won't be too long. There was a lights out television show, there was a Amos and Andy on the radio, and a man on a hill running round, don't you know, saying everybody here got to go. There was a lights out television show, there was a Amos and Andy on the radio, and a man on a hill running round, don't you know, saying everybody here got to go.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and so I have no idea what the story might be. I just kind of like the record, and so does Johnny in Austin. All right, I think I found out who you mean on Imperial, and it's not there is something on your mind, but we'll get there. Now, firstly, there is something on your mind. You've never heard the fact that it was a real record by Big J. McNeely, that it was not a soliloquy or anything like that?
No, I mean, okay. I remember it. I mean, yeah, I know it.
You know the Big J. McNeely. All right, so you know what it came from. And, of course, you know exactly what Bobby Marchand did. Now, what I think you're thinking about on Liberty was a reissue of the Velvetones' Glory of Love, which had originally been on Aladdin, where they have the soliloquy in the middle. I hold in my hand, dear, three letters from the three stages of your fine, fine, super fine career. You remember that?
I don't know if that's it.
All right. Well, let's hear some of that, because I want to tell you what that comes from, and you probably have never heard the original. But anyway, this was the Velvetones.
You've got to give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart break a little. Story of, that's the glory of love.
Glory of love.
You've got to.
Yes, you're way up on top now. And you want to be free. Why you feel that you're too good, much too good for a nobody like me. You're afraid to present me to the friends in your cell.
That's the story.
Well, darling, I guess it's best that we should part.
The glory,
but how soon you forget the fine, fine things you've done, and how just a little taste of success has gone straight to your pretty little head. I hold in my hand, dear, three letters. Three letters from the stage of your fine, fine, super fine career. First began, Eddie, darling, sweetheart, my wonderful one. I will always be grateful for the things that you've done.
That's the story.
The second letter came right after I gave you your star.
That's the glory.
Yes, it came from your pen, dear, but not from your heart. The third, the king, the joke of the deck. You ended your letter in close. Please sign my check. Why, you fool.
All right, so you remember that.
Yeah, that's a bit...
But now,
it's been a long time.
Now,
I like it.
I always loved it. But believe it or not, that is a rip of a 1949 record. Larry Darnell. Do you remember Larry?
I do not.
Oh, man. Well, here's his soliloquy, and this is in I'll Get Along Somehow.
You're right up on top now, and you want to be free. Why, you feel that you're too good, much too good for nobody like me. Yes, you're afraid to present me to the friends in your set. Oh, well, I guess it's more convenient for us to forget. But how soon you forget all the fine, fine things you said, and how just a little success, yes, just a little taste of success has gone straight to your pretty little head. I hold in my hand three letters, dear. Each from three different stages of your fine, super fine career. The first one began, Larry, darling, sweetheart, my wonderful one.
He never got any credit on the record, but there you have Larry Darnell.
What year was that?
49. And
the year I was born.
And it was re-released in 1960 on half a dozen labels like OK and like Argo. I mean, literally several labels in 1960. The same year, of course, that Bobby Marchand decided to do a soliloquy of There Is Something on Your Mind, and later the Jolly Jacks. But the Velvetones came out on Imperial. So when you said Imperial, I thought, maybe it's a different soliloquy.
No, but that's some good stuff you just played right there. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Speaking of disc jockeys, I found another real legend that I was not... Well, I probably heard his name, but out of Dallas, Texas, called Cousin Lenny.
Oh, yeah. Cousin Lenny, for years, did the overnights on Cliff after, you know, when they started in the latter 60s and stuff, having to have minorities and stuff like that. But, yeah, Cousin Lenny was around forever.
He was on there for 15 years, and then they had that Soul 73 KKDA.
Right.
And they even had some artists on doing shows on there, like Millie Jackson apparently did the show, and AL/TNT Braggs, who used to record for Don Roby, had a show on there.
Yep, Soul 73. Cousin Lenny. Linwood Henderson was his name. Cousin Lenny. It's not Lenny. It's Lenny. Linwood.
Am I spelling it wrong?
L-I-N-N-I-E.
Yeah, Cousin Lenny.
Yeah, C-U-Z-Z-I-N-L-I-N-N-I-E. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was big there, and I had heard, I heard him on YouTube.
There was a story, and I think he was arrested. And it's terrible of me to even say this before I know I have proof, but I'm pretty sure he was. For theft, I think, but I'll have to find that. It wasn't like anything horrible. It was just like theft.
I saw some good interviews too on YouTube. One was with Purvis Spann.
Oh, sure.
He was really, really interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
And another thing, there was a Richard Pagee.
Of course, yeah, and records and all that. You know, you can hear his records, sure. That's all. Those are the big VON names.
Was Jerry Blavitt regarded as an R&B John?
Well, yeah, but for different reasons. The deal with Jerry never actually worked for a radio station. He always bought the time. And he started out on WCAM in Camden buying the time. And it was more for his in-person appearances that he was hyping, because, you know, he was much more of a personality than being on the radio. But then he wound up buying the time on HAT, and so, you know, Soul Station. So, but even on CAM, he was playing great oldies. And this was early. This was like 1961. He was playing terrific oldies. And then he went to HAT. And, you know, as far as broadcast media, his big days were the fact that he had a strip show Monday through Friday. I know that sounds weird, but you know what I mean. Monday through Friday after school on a television station there every day. And so kids saw him on TV. But he did so many hops that there were a few years there where he had a helicopter, so he could do three in a night, you know, across town and things like that. And then, you know, sadly, in about 1970, everything ended, and he went to L.A. and thought things were going to happen here, and they didn't, and he came back to Philly, and nothing happened. And he bought, not much money, it was cheap at the time, a little club in Margate. He named it Memories, and he owned that until he died. And he had the land, too, so his family made some nice, his daughters made some nice money on that. But he was much more, you know, much more of an in-person than he was on the radio. But on the radio, he absolutely bought the time. I think the only time he didn't buy the time, Bruce Holberg had hired him for WFIL. I don't know if he paid him a salary or if it was a trade-out, but I don't think Jerry bought the time, and that would have been like 1984.
Who was this Maurice Hot Rod?
Oh, Hot Rod Holberg. Not who was Maurice Holberg. No, do you remember Jocko Henderson?
Well, I had his name written down, too.
Well, let me tell you.
I've seen pictures of him.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Papa Doc, E. Diddly-Ock, I am the Doc. Yeah. On the scene with the
record machine. Was he the one that was on the racehorse in these pictures?
No, well, you know, he had a TV show where he looked like he was from outer space. But anyway.
We're talking about two different people.
Yeah, that's Jocko. Now, but the deal is, everybody thought that Jocko was the original rhyming jock. That's because they didn't know Hot Rod Holbert, because that's where Jocko got it. Jocko was from Baltimore. His father was like a bigwig, if not head of, the Department of Education. So Jocko was very educated. And but he just loved doing this. And so, you know, WSID, and this is such a story because United Broadcasting, I mean, if you think the OK Group was something, you got to know about WSID. Anyway, it was in Baltimore. And they hired Hot Rod from Memphis, and he came to Baltimore, and really that's where Jocko learned all of it. And so, absolutely. But WSID was, you know, the guy who owned it, Richard Eaton, Eaton Broadcasting, was so cheap. The studios were in a warehouse, but in summer it got hot. So he got a big block of ice and a fan to put on it, and that was their air conditioning. Well, one day Hal Jackson nicked his finger, bled all over the place, and Eaton fired him for being a mess. So,
oh my God!
Oh yeah, but WSID AM was 1010 AM, an AM radio station. You know, run down to sundown, daytimer. That man, they were just great. So yeah, you got to look up WSID.
And WSID, I'm sure I've seen them.
Yeah, 1010 Baltimore.
So this Joseph Gibson, this Jockey
Joe. Jockey Joe. Yeah, here's the deal with him. He started a lot of problems, actually, in some ways. But, he wound up starting NARA, the National Association of Radio Announcers, that we talked about in the last call. But he also had a tip sheet. And why can't I think of his name of the tip sheet?
Wasn't he the one that had a picture of himself on a horse?
Probably. But it was definitely Jack the Rapper. Jack the Rapper was the thing. Jack the Rapper. And that was the deal. And Jack the Rapper was a big tip sheet. I remember going to one of their conventions. Oh, geez, that was hilarious. But you couldn't downplay his importance. He was a big deal.
What station was he on?
Oh, what station wasn't he on? Yeah, it's like that. Trust me. So you can, you know, everything from WERD in Atlanta, Georgia, to Chicago, to you know, everything.
I'll tell you. I'm sorry to interrupt you because I know we're running out of time here. But there's a station that Walt Baby Love was telling me about, owned by the Carter family in Kansas City, called KPRS, and a gentleman way back in 1950, his name was Andrew Skip Carter, and he was an engineer. He went to engineering school and got his first class license, and got, I think he might have been the first black man to put on a radio station.
Yeah.
In 1950, Andrew Skip Carter.
Yeah, no, he was from Savannah originally. And he
and his wife owned the station all these years, and now it belongs to his grandson.
Yeah, and Landon had owned it before, and before the Skip, a guy named Landon owned it, and Landon helped Skip buy that radio station. And so I think he got the station in 49, but he wasn't the first. I think he was the second African American to receive a station as far.
The thing that surprised me is I looked that station up. I could find no listings of disc jockeys at all.
You can, but not easily. The PRS stood for People's Radio Station.
Did they not have emphasis on DJs on that station?
I think the purchase price was $15.90. It was, you know, just to the left of your glove box. It was certainly the first African-American-owned station west of the Mississippi, but there was somebody before that east. But the interesting thing is that he met this woman that he ultimately married. I think he married her in like 1960, but when he met her, she was the one, and we're talking 1959, 1960.
I know exactly what you're going to tell me, that she's the one that told him to get a FM license.
Yes, absolutely. And
her name was Mildred or Millie Carter.
Yeah, there's a married name, yeah. And then I think KPRS became KPRT, and it was doing urban gospel for a while, and
they just celebrated 75 years in May.
Right. Sadly, Skip died in like 89 or 90. I mean, it's been a long time.
Oh, I know.
But But yeah, it was not, you know, 1590. You can look at the old broadcasting yearbooks, and that's one of the easiest ways to do it, by the way, worldradiohistory.com. Look for the broadcasting yearbooks and go to, like, if you want to know when he got it and all that, you know, start in 1958, 59, 60, you know, or 48, 49, 50, like that. You get the idea.
Yeah, but I found a lot of places, and you were right. You know, it takes time to search, but it's
all
really
there.
Interesting.
Yes, it's all there. You know, the problem is when you start to search, you have to devote more time than you ever thought because you'll run across things that have nothing to do with what you're searching for, but they're so damn interesting you'll read every word.
No.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, you can be there for weeks. Before there was an internet, I used to sit in the library, like downtown Los Angeles in the library, and I'd be there for like 9 hours reading all this old stuff, you know, on the microfilm and all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they got to know me by first name. I'd be in there, you know, 3-4 days a week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff out there, so I'd like to get some, and there's a whole bunch of the WLAC stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, as I listen out of Nashville to your listeners that don't know what a Bill Powerful station and not blanketed the South and other parts of the country real good. But they had John Arge.
Well, the funny thing about LAC, John Arge, Hoss Allen, and Gene Nobles were the big three. But all around the Central South, people thought they were all black, and they thought the news guy was white. The news guy was the only black guy in the building.
But you know what I noticed about them on these air checks was that a lot of these blues songs, I didn't even know them. Were they
playing?
Well,
no, keep in mind who sponsored this. Remember, this is Randy's Record Shop. This is Ernie's Record Mart. This is Stan the Man. You know, so consequently, they're just trying to sell these records. You know, Ernie Young, who owned Ernie's Record Mart, he owned Excello. So you hear blues that you never hear anywhere else in the world. And then, of course, when you're listening, you hear them advertise the packages, right? And they'll, you know, you'll buy 11 records for like $1.95 or whatever. You've never heard of 10 of them.
I used to buy those.
So did I. And usually one of those 10 that no one ever heard of turned out to be like the jewel of a lifetime. Absolutely. I bought them. I bought the Baby Chicks. Yeah, Reich Poultry Farms.
Oh, that was a big deal.
Yeah, Reich Poultry Farms. Yes, Red Top Baby Chicks. 100 Red Top Baby Chicks. At this price, sex cannot be guaranteed. And literally, I wondered who wanted to have sex with a chicken. But, you know, the deal was that I had to order. And I not only had to order, I had to order and send them to my mother's snooty friends. Yes, a chicken truck really drives up, even on Collins Avenue in Miami Beach and on Park Avenue in New York. In both cases, the chicken truck drove up.
Well, were they alive?
50% guaranteed to be alive at time of delivery.
Or you get half your money back.
Well, yeah, but dead. I mean, most of them were alive.
Well, yeah, but so...
Oh, yeah. Well, then my favorite, though, was WCKY, because they sold tombstones. Don't let your mother... Don't let your mother lay out in the cold another night without a proper marker, right? Tombstone, WCKY. That's spelled WCKY.
Well, wasn't that in Cincinnati?
Of course. Well, Covington, technically, originally. But yes, of course it was in Cincinnati. But they sold tombstones. Of course, XERF. I had to buy the pieces of the original Cross, the Last Supper tablecloth, and several other goodies.
Well, WCKY, weren't they like 1530 or something?
Yeah, they were, absolutely. Same as KFBK.
But were they ever a legendary station? Because
yes,
I heard them.
I consider them a legend.
The PD at that time that I heard, it was in the 70s, was... What's his name? Nick Clooney.
Oh, well, sure. Who, by the way, was the number one news anchor after Al Schottelkotty died.
Right. I knew he was on TV,
yeah.
But he was the PD of that station,
right.
When they were, like, beautiful music or something.
Yeah, easy listening for a while, but great radio station. And here, in many ways, really terrific radio station. And originally, Larry B. Wilson owned it, LBW, short little Larry B. Wilson. There's a story. There's a story there too. He owned Channel 10 in Miami, and before it became PLG. Anyhow, John says if I don't shut up, WGN won't be paying the rest of the bills. So I am going to do that, and I'm going to implore you to call me either tomorrow night or Thursday night so we can continue this conversation.
Well, it was a great one, and I appreciate talking
to
you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
All right.
All right. So good deal on WGN Radio.
Chicago's very own. Springtime all right, in Chicago. If you hate to paint, do what your neighbor Linda did. She called Rhino Shield.
The house was built 40
enough time to say thank
ago.
You, good night. You're having 20 seconds.
I figured.
The paint
okay.
was flicking off. Okay. And I just saw the commercials on TV for Rhino Shield. They said it was guaranteed for like 25 years. And I thought, well, let me just give them a call.
And Rhino Shield.
Yeah, we'll bring it back, sign off, and then I'll toss it to the ID.
Okay. Climate here in Chicago.
We did the Rhino Shield under the roof line, and I had several French doors, you know, without the windows, so they did the Rhino Shield and the garage door. Just one man worked on it, and he was so detailed, and he did a super job.
Get the great protection of Rhino Shield right now for 15% off the regular price.
I would highly recommend Rhino Shield. It's a very good company. Oh, and neighbors, you know, they were all impressed with it, and I says, well, Rhino Shield, I've got their phone number.
This offer's for a limited time, so call now, 847-850-1132 or ChicagoRhinoShield.com.
Hey, go Rhino Shield!
Welcome back to Ask Hassilis.
How do you get pee out of an old mattress?
By trading in that old mattress for a new Beautyrest or Sealy Posturepedic.
But that'll cost a lot of money.
Not at Hassilis Mattress. Through Monday, trade in your old mattress and get additional savings of $248 off a queen and $348 off a king. Plus, next day delivery and haul away of the old mattress for pee.
What was that?
Sorry, I meant for free.
Sure you did.
Open 9 to 9. Find an employee-free showroom near you at Hassilis.com.
30.
Another accident? What happened?
Our truck driver got cut off, and they're getting blamed. No witnesses, no proof, and insurance is skyrocketing.
Wait, our drivers shouldn't take the blame for this?
Exactly why we need Samsara. Their AI dash cam show real-time video proving when our drivers aren't at fault.
So we protect our drivers and avoid false claims?
Yep. Companies using Samsara have exonerated their drivers and saved millions on insurance.
Stand by.
Protect your drivers and your bottom line at Samsara.com. Samsara.
There you go.
Operate smarter.
And that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls. Apologies to Robert and Eric and everybody else. We'll do it again 21 hours from now, and I hope you will call me back. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.